guess that was made for him, not for something like this, okay? All right. I'm so glad to be here this morning, and I thank all of you for being here this morning. I know there are other places you could have gone, other things you could have done, but thank you for being here. While driving up here this morning, I was saying to myself, Spirit of God, if you're not traveling with me and going to be with me at this pulpit, I don't even want to go. And I'm sure that if the Spirit of God is not here this morning, none of you would want to be here either. All right? So let us just take a moment to call on that wonderful God to bless us and be with us this morning. Awesome God, thank you so much for your presence with us. We know that you are always with us. You have promised never to leave us and forsake us. And so, Lord, bless my lips. May your word be anointed. May it reach the hearts and souls of your people to be a word of comfort, healing, and joy. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I want to start off with something funny, so listen to this. A man and his wife, and also his mother-in-law, he must have been a good guy to take the mother-in-law, they went on a vacation to the Holy Land. While they were there, the mother-in-law passed away. And so the undertaker told him, you can leave her here and get her buried in the Holy Land for $150, or you can have her shipped home for $5,000. The man thought about it a little while, and then he said he would rather prefer having her shipped back home. The undertaker was puzzled, and he asked, why would you spend $5,000 to ship your mother-in-law home when it would be wonderful to have her buried here in the Holy Land for just $150? The man replied, I heard about a man who was buried here 2,000 years ago, but 3 days later he rose from the dead, and I just can't take that chance with my mother-in-law. I would spend $5,002. Just kidding. Yeah. Anyhow, Father Andrew thought it would be cool for me to come here this morning and preach this passage, which is, of course, everything in the Bible is about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But today is loosely called Doubting Thomas Sunday, right? So here I am to talk about Thomas, the disciple that went all the way to India to evangelize the Indian people. This message for you this morning is primarily to help those who struggle with their faith just like Thomas. Thomas was singled out to be a doubter, but the truth is that all of his disciples were doubters. Peter and John were confused when they saw the empty tomb. Recall that. I'm not even sure if they believed Mary Magdalene when she came running to them and said, I have seen the Lord. Most of them went back to catch fish. And I know there is enough blame to go around, but a lot of us are like those disciples. We long to have a faith that can move mountains, but that kind of faith is not within us. We want it, but we just don't have it. And that is because many of us have a head faith. God is in our head, but not in our hearts. Perhaps you've heard people say you can miss heaven by 18 inches. That's because their faith is in your head and not in your heart. Our faith is shallow and shaky. It often fails when it is tested. And one reason is because we are not totally surrendered to the Lord. Many of us pray to God for something, some difficult time in our life, but we have our own backup plans in case that does not work. I know a lot of people who are about to enter the hospital, they'll call you and say, hey, pray for me, and you know, so-and-so is going to the hospital, we really need a miracle. Yeah, sure, we pray. But when the person gets out of the hospital, they say, oh, that doctor was fantastic, and that nurse was so good, and nothing about the Lord. I hope that is going to change today, my friends. God is not just a pie in the sky. His Holy Spirit is with us and in us. He is the great physician. He is the healer God. His name is Jehovah Nissi, the healer. Perhaps you heard of the story of a man who fell off a cliff. As he began falling, he was able to grab onto the limb of a tree and remain suspended in the air hundreds of feet above some rocks. People think of God only when they are in deep trouble, and so he cried out saying, "God, if you are true, please help me." Surprisingly, he heard a voice saying, "Sure, just let go of the branch." Unsure if he heard right, he said again, "God, if you are true, please help me." The voice said again, "Sure, just let go of that branch." Instead of letting go of the branch, the man yelled back, "Is there anyone else up there that can help me?" We always doubt God instead of believing. That is our human nature. We are conceived in sin. The point I'm trying to make is that many of us are like that man. He doubted God, and so did Thomas. Thomas wasn't going to be satisfied just seeing the face of Jesus. He needed evidence of the crucifixion of the body of Jesus. And in defense of Thomas, I imagine he probably wanted to make sure that the one he was looking at was the same person that walked with them in Galilee and did all of the miracles. And so he said to Jesus, "I want to touch your hands and I want to put my hand in your side. If not, I'm not going to believe." In essence, Thomas was making a deal with God. Perhaps he was saying, "This is not going to work. I need to see hard evidence. Perhaps my eyes is deceiving me." Sometimes our unbelief drives us to make deals with God. I don't know about you, I've made a lot of deals in the past. We all go to God and we say, "If you are God, do this, this, and this for me." You buy a lotto ticket and you say, "God, if you are God, help me win and I will give you this and I'll send so much to the church." Always making deals. And yet God is not mad at us. Instead, he responds with much love and tenderness so that we can come to the Easter faith just like Thomas and get saved. And friend, I don't know where you are in your faith and relationship with the Lord, but my goal this morning is to encourage you to believe and not to doubt. It would be a tragedy to gain the whole world and lose your soul. There are so many people who are so successful in this world. They make a great life here, raise a family. They're good people. But they make such a mistake when they procrastinate and put off accepting the Lord into their life. And one day, they are gone. On the one hand, we love the Lord, but on the other, our faith in him is somewhat shallow and wobbly. A situation or crisis in our life brings us to closer to the Lord, but we have difficulty in staying faithful. And why is that? It is because the evil one is working overtime to place a wedge between you and God. And for Thomas, that wedge was a wedge of doubt. For some people, it is drunkenness or adultery or something that keeps them away from the Lord. So perhaps you're asking, "So what is that I'm going to learn from you today?" That's a good question. I haven't got much time left, but I want to give you three basic truths. The first one is, even when you cannot see God in your deepest need, he is always near you. The frightened disciples were not really expecting Jesus at all. For that matter, they weren't even praying. All we know is that they were locked up in the room and they were so frightened. But Jesus knew that they had a need. And so he walked through those closed doors to encourage them. Friend, when you hit rock bottom and you find yourself at the end of the rope, remember that the same God who walked through those closed doors is willing and able to do the same for you and for me. You will never know that God is all you need until God is all you have. Instead of being overwhelmed with fears and worries, see each problem as an invitation to prayer. The good news is your problems will go away. But the bad news is it will not go away until you die. Between now and then, your faith is the only thing that's going to sustain you. Friends, your faith is the bridge between life and death. It is the bridge between this world and life eternal. Think about this. Peace and joy does not come by finding a sea without storms. Rather, peace and joy comes from having Jesus with you in the boat. So in this world, you will have tribulation. Jesus tells us that. But be of good comfort, he says, for I have overcome this world. So maybe I should ask, is Jesus in your boat? Is he in your house? Is he at your dinner table? Is he with you in your job? Is he with you when you drive your car? Only you know the answer. You may not want him, but remember, in your deepest need, he is always near you. And secondly, God is willing and able to do anything to strengthen your faith. Remember, Jesus walked through those closed doors because he knew that the disciples needed him. He used encouraging words saying, "Peace be with you." And that was not the traditional greeting of that day. "Peace be with you." He could have really said to them, "Shame on you. Aren't you the ones I trusted? Now look at you. See what you've done. You have denied me and you have failed me." Think about it. Jesus did not have to oblige Thomas either. As if Thomas was actually kind of bringing Jesus down to his level. If Thomas's faith was lagging, that was Thomas's problem. And if your and my faith is lagging, that's our problem. No one is responsible for our unbelief except ourselves. You alone can make the decision to accept Jesus Christ in your life or reject him. Holy Spirit will never impose himself upon you to accept him. We have that free choice. Jesus went to the cross, my friends, not to get us. He went to the cross to save us, forgive us, and save us. And so looking at Thomas, he says, "Thomas, come here, reach your finger here and put it on my hands. And put your hand into your side, my side, and don't be disbelieving, Thomas." In essence, I believe he was saying to Thomas, "Experience for yourself what I have done for you and all those who love me." In a sense, I am so thankful that Thomas asked Jesus that question. If he did not put his hands on those prints and his hand in Jesus' side, perhaps there would be numerous books written by numerous people to discredit the crucifixion altogether. In a sense, I think Thomas was ashamed of himself and his unbelief, because Scripture tells us that he actually did not even put his hand there or touch the prints. He just asked. Thomas cried out, was the first to cry out and say, "My Lord and my God." Oh, the wounded side of God, my friends, and his nail-pierced hands. I wish each one of us would be able to experience that you have not seen that, but visualize for a moment. He was crucified for you. His side was pierced for you. God gave his life for each one of us so that we might be able to live with him forever. God loves you more than you can ever imagine, and I do not have the words adequate enough to explain and share with you how much he loves you. And so I'm suggesting that even if you strayed away for a moment or for months or years, come back and receive Jesus into your life. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. But not everyone who comes to church is saved. Friend, I believe deep within each one of us, there is a place that reverences God. And it's that flicker of faith that God is looking for to fan it into flames. He wants to extract the precious from the worthless. Jesus was able to extract the Peter out of Simon and the Paul out of Saul. He wants to do the same with you and with me. I believe there is something good within each one of us, and God wants to use that good part for his glory. In other words, we got to put away that unbelief and start believing and trusting in God to do great things for you. I've tried to figure out so many things in my life in the past, and as much intelligence as one has, I'm telling you, you're going to make big blunders and big mistakes. Trust the Lord to lead you. He is the one who knows he is from everlasting to everlasting. He knows the beginning and he knows the end. And lastly, my friends, with God on your side, you will never lack power. Thomas was convinced that the wounds he saw was real. Some fake it to make it. But in this case, Jesus chose to die. I believe that even if the Roman soldiers did not ram those nails into his hands, Jesus would have done it to himself just to crush the head of Satan and have victory over death so that you and I might have life everlasting. But knowledge about Jesus' death alone is not going to be enough for us to wage that battle of faith. We need power and strength to fight the forces of darkness. And Jesus knew that, and so breathing upon his disciples, he said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." In other words, he is saying, "I want you to receive the very essence of me. I want you to receive all of my power so that I can dwell in you and live in you forever." God did not give us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a strong mind. Scripture says we have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." Friend, you're not powerless, and you will never be powerless when you receive God into your life. It does not matter what mountain stands before you. You can conquer it and claim victory over and over again. Your mountain may be big, but you have a bigger God. Don't stand before your mountain and say, "What a big mountain you are." Tell the mountain that I have a God that is bigger than you. Difficulties are going to come, my friends. Every one of you will have troubles and trials. I've had my share too. I'm sure there's more to come. But in every situation, God will lead you through. Perhaps some of you know that little poem about the footprints in the sand. He may not remove the situation from you, but he will be with you. Psalm 23 talks about the same thing. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, he will be with us. Thomas was a doubter, but he did not stay in doubt. Thomas allowed Jesus to bring him to that Easter faith. And legend tells us that Thomas went on to evangelize in India. And today there are more than 30 million Christians in that country. And I said earlier in the first service, that accounts for more than every man, woman, and child in all of Canada. God can use doubters in ways we can never imagine. And friend, my prayer is that God will do the same with you today. We don't have to stay in doubt, and we don't have to be discouraged. And if you've never trusted God fully, don't be ashamed of yourself and don't beat yourself up. We have a God of a second chance. We have a God full of mercy and grace. Go to him and he will receive you into himself. The God we have doesn't point out your mistakes. All he says all the time is, come unto me, or follow me. And when he says, follow me, what does that mean? He means that I'm on a journey somewhere, going somewhere. But I want you to come with me. I want to take you with me to the place that I am going. We don't have to stay in doubt, and we don't have to be discouraged. The God who once lived in the heavens wants to live in your heart and mine, if you will allow him to do that. Therefore, we no longer need to see him physically. We can feel him, we can walk with him, we can talk with him all at the same time. Friends, I don't know about you, but I do not need to see God to believe him. God is visible in the circumstances and experiences of everyday life. We see him in the poor. We see him in our neighbors. We see him with the hungry. We see him with the sick. We see him in the wind. We see him in the stars. We see him in the sun. We see him in the birds. We see him in the flowers. We see him everywhere. And if you listen closely to his voice, you will not only see him, but you will feel him inside of you. The beauty of this season is the resurrection and God's presence in our hearts. God is nearer to us than a friend and sticks closer to us than a brother. I hope you are feeling him this morning. And remember this, my friends, three things I told you this morning. Even when you cannot see God in your deepest need, he is always near you. God is willing and able to do anything to strengthen your faith. And finally, with God on your side, you will never lack the power. And so may God's grace and mercy and peace and his abiding presence encourage and strengthen the faith of each one of you, that you may stay strong and fight the forces of darkness until that day in which he calls you by name and walks you through those gates into everlasting life. And all God's people say, Amen.